Could you give us an update on your injured players, Keel, Sundberg, and Emerson?
Keel, ACL, he'll be out for the season. Nick, same injury he had last year with the meniscus tear. He'll be out. And Emerson has a concussion, and we'll monitor that day by day, going through the protocol that we usually do on concussions.
Sundberg?
He's out for the season. Is that what you asked?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is
that? Yeah. I believe that's what they said, but they did tell me that he's out. Not yet, but we will.
Is that an option in this case? You designated Sundberg for return last season on the IR rule. Is that an option in this case?
No.
Coach, just talking special teams, with what you were able to see yourself, how much is this scheme versus the roster, the guys out there doing this?
Well, I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. When you play as a unit, if it's offense, defense, or special teams, they have success. Everybody's got to do their job, and if one guy's a little bit off, you look pretty average. And even on that one punt return, we had a penalty that brought it back. We had him inside the 15. And the second one, that's when Keel knee actually collapses when he's making a cut right there with the ball carrier. But as I said before, you know, you got to play well as a unit. And if you're a little bit off either way, you can look pretty average very quickly.
What do you do or emphasize this week to try to get some of those things fixed there?
Same thing you always do, doing little things the right way. It's everybody, you know, being in tune to doing the little things the right way. You know, same thing we've talked about offense and defense. I thought it was one of the better games we've played. It was the best game we've played defensively, without a question. Very proud of our defense with the way they went out there and fought. You go against a very talented football team like Dallas, and to control them in the running game and somewhat in the passing game, and to play at that level, very pleased. So that's a very positive part of what happened against Dallas. But when you go look at the offense and the special teams, we're pretty average. We weren't as consistent as we should be on offense. It's the same thing as special teams. One guy can be a little bit off. You can have a lot of yards, and it can look good in the running game and the passing game. But if you don't get the ball in the end zone, it really doesn't matter. Score enough points to win.
With the special team struggles, is it the players getting used to a new coach, or is Keith still working to find his way? Or does any of that have anything to do with it?
Well, I think any time you take a look at a unit, you come together, and that's what you do. And Lorenzo Alexander is not going to show up, so somebody's got to take control of those special teams. And one guy's got to define himself, or two guys got to define himself, and it's us working as a group, and it just takes one guy to look pretty average.
Mike, just on the punt return for the touchdown, looked like Niles Paul got clipped in the back, and he said after the game that he thought he did as well. Is that something you saw when you went back and watched it on tape this morning?
He got pushed in the back, yeah. He got pushed in the back.
Should have been a penalty.
You get pushed in the back, you answer your own question.
Sure. Mike, you just mentioned Lorenzo Alexander, his usefulness on special teams. What does a guy like that who knows every scheme, who knows all that kind of stuff, his leadership, he's respecting the locker room, what does that type of guy do on special teams? What kind of value does he have?
Well, that's what you're always looking for, that guy to separate themselves in one area, if it's offense, defense, or special teams. When you're voted captain, you kind of want to separate yourself from the rest of the pack. That's why we vote for our captain at the midway point, to see who kind of separates himself in special teams. And we're still looking for that guy. But we got a lot of guys in different positions, some new players. They're getting used to different techniques, and hopefully we can put it together this weekend.
You touched on Keith Burns' performance. In your mind, how much of an issue is his inexperience being in charge of a special teams group a factor in this?
Well, I think Keith Burns is a very excellent football coach, very capable. And like I said, to get at this level and to be in charge of something, it takes a lot of years of work to be put in this position. And I feel very confident that he'll get the job done, even though he started out a little bit rough.
After,
changed after watching the fumble or the ball that wasn't called a fumble on the punt? And what did they tell you last night, and have you already contacted the league about that again?
No, I didn't have to contact the league. I saw it. It was a missed call, and I saw it during the game. But if somebody makes a call incorrectly, and that's what they see, you can't challenge it. So it's just a missed call. We should have had the ball there.
When we get to watch you on the practice field, a lot of times you kind of oversee everything. After a week,
say that again?
When we get to watch you on the practice field, a lot of times you're kind of overseeing everything.
Uh-huh.
After a game like this where one phase struggles as immensely as special teams does, do you personally spend more time maybe in that meeting room, that area of practice?
Well, what you don't see is how much time I do spend with all the areas. You know, special teams, offense, defense. That's what a head coach does.
Well, I'd imagine that's the case. But after a week like this, do you spend more time or do you just kind of – is it business as usual?
Any phase that's struggling, you always spend more time in that phase.
With David Amerson's hit, did you look back at that? Did that look like – I mean, it looked like it was helmet-to-helmet on the side there, but what did you
– Well, it was definitely helmet-to-helmet. David, of course, in that position, he's going to learn in time that he's got to hit that hole a little bit harder. You know, he can't wait. He's got an excellent opportunity to go in there and make the play, and that's just a guy with a little inexperience. Next time he's in that position, he'll make the tackle.
I know it's hard to look at your record right now at being at 1-4, but are you encouraged by the improvement that you saw yesterday? Do you feel like this team sort of turned a corner yesterday, even though they lost?
I shared with you that I was very pleased with our defense. I thought it was the best game of the year by far. Anytime you have that type of run defense and you go against a quarterback that's had a lot of success and you play at that level, you feel very good. The defense gave us many opportunities to win that football game. And we didn't take advantage of it offensively or special teams. And in order to win those games, you've got to play good in all phases, especially on the road.
On one more question about Amerson's injury, do you think it met the definition of a peel back? Should have been a penalty for a peel back?
I don't get into all those details, but I don't want to go into detail for obvious reasons, but anytime you get a helmet-to-helmet hit, you know, there's always an evaluation process. But like I said, if we would have shot the right angle, he would never have been hit. So those are the things that we concentrate on.
Robert seemed to be way more effective getting to the edge as a ball carrier in this game. What types of things do you think that'll do to help you guys offensively in the next couple games after a team like Chicago sees him running the way he did?
Well, I think everybody saw that Robert did look more comfortable running the ball, making plays, you know, out of sequence, and, you know, really a credit to him. Making some of those plays, but collectively we've got to get better as a team, and obviously the more he can do, the better off we'll be.
There was a couple of plays. He had the one pass to Pierre where it looked like Pierre was doing a comeback and Robert threw it to the end zone, and then there was a deep one where Robert threw out and Pierre was going in.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards Pierre said he didn't know what to attribute those miscommunications to. What do you think happened there on those plays?
Well, we were I was first and 10 on the 18, and there's right before the half, and Pierre didn't see a signal that Robert gave him, and Robert was giving him a signal, and Pierre didn't see it, and he thought he was going to run the go route, and if not, Robert probably would have worked the other side, but, you know, those things do happen.
We saw you guys turn things around last season. What do you think needs to be done, and do you think that you guys can turn that corner again? Do you think you can revive?
Well, the thing you can't do is, you know, look down the road. What you have to do is look to today. And that's what we'll do. We'll be tough on ourselves today, look at the things we did poorly. Players will come in, get a workout in, look at the film. Then Wednesday we'll get on to Chicago. But in order to beat a team like Chicago, you got to take it a day at a time and just concentrate on that football team. And if you get better as a group, then you got a chance to win. And at least that's a formula that I look at.
Mike, when you guys lost Sundberg for those couple weeks last year, it seemed like the units were kind of in flux. You guys brought Snow in. How much of an impact does he have just as being one of the more reliable long snappers in the league?
Well, anytime you lose a guy that you count on, it takes some work, takes some timing. If it's on extra points and field goals, if it's on punts, it does take some time. There's a learning process that goes with it.
Mike, how do you assess your wide receiver play last night? It seemed like they had trouble separating from Dallas' secondary, or how much was that on Robert, maybe some of the timing not being there?
Well, they did play a lot of man coverage, a lot of eight-man fronts. We expected them to play that to, you know, stop our running game. And it's always a challenge. Anytime you go against DBs in a one-on-one coverage, and you see very quickly if guys are open or if they're not. But a lot of times against man coverage, those windows aren't going to be as open as they are in zone. So you've got to execute.
Mike, any thoughts of reviewing time management with Robert or with the offense in general? At the end of the first half, there was obviously after completing the 3rd and 7, it looked like that was opportunity to call a timeout there. And also at the end of the game, it seemed as if down by 2 scores, there didn't seem to be the
well, first of all, you're thinking before we get to, if it's 2nd and 10, it does go to 3rd and 7, you know, why do you let the clock go down to, you know, 44 seconds? You know, a lot of people wonder, you know, were we trying to get a playoff or were we trying to keep them from calling a timeout? So in our minds, that if we would have snapped the ball right away and we missed the 3rd and 7, then they have the ball with 3 timeouts with 1:10 left with Tony to possibly go the distance. By us going to 44 seconds and then calling a timeout, now you decide if you get the first down, which we did on the 18-yard line, and they let that clock go about an extra 5 seconds too long. We should have had the ball with 25 seconds, but that's neither here nor there. But we do have 3 opportunities there to go for the end zone before we kick a field goal, and that's what you're looking for. You're trying to get points, possibly a touchdown, at a minimum a field goal, and we were hoping that they wouldn't call a timeout. We'd let that clock go down a little bit, so if we missed the 3rd and 7, we would keep them out of an opportunity to run the 2-minute offense as well.
Been through some tough stretches here. Mm-hmm. The philosophy has always been patience for the most mm-hmm. part. You know, keep on, like you just said about special teams, mm-hmm. you know, do what you've been doing. Other places, you know, they go for more of a shakeup, might mm-hmm. fire a coach, make mm-hmm. player personnel changes. Mm-hmm. What is that? Just your general philosophy is to try to stay the course and keep going, or could there come a time where there might need to be a shakeup?
Damn, I'm not sure how to answer that question. Anyway, I can relate to a lot of different things. I don't really worry about those type of things during the season. What I'm trying to do is concentrate on each game, just like the players do. It's up to you guys to analyze all those type of things. But I got a lot of belief in our coaches, a lot of belief in our players. I know what we did last year in offense. We're not quite there yet like we were last year. We've been moving the football, but we haven't been scoring points. For us to be the type of football team we need to be, we need to get back on course in the defensive play like they did last week. And special teams, like I said, we got a number of new players playing different positions. We got to get them to feel comfortable in their role. And if you do that, then you got a chance to win.
Going back to what Joe was talking about, the time management, in the fourth quarter, I think you're down 2 scores, mm-hmm. about 8 minutes left or so. What's your philosophy with when do you want to start going to like more of a 2-minute hurry-up type of offense in those situations? And why don't you want to do it then, I guess?
Well, it all depends. Sometimes it's crowd noise. Sometimes it's the player, your players, if you think they're tired or not tired. The main thing you have to do is score. You got to score the first touchdown, have the opportunity to score the second one. So that first one you're a little bit more careful on than you are the second one, because I think we proved at the end of the half we had 2:23. We had 80 yards to go. I never worried about 3 timeouts, 2:20. It's plenty of time without even the timeout, so that's easy. What you want to make sure of, at least from my standpoint, is you don't want to return or give the ball back to them and give them a chance to score. And so there's a fine line between both of them. I was happy with 1st and 10 on the 17-yard line with 20 seconds left. And it should have been 25 seconds left. They let it go down an extra 5 seconds. And I was fighting to get that back. And if you can see the replay on it, they did give them an extra 5 seconds. But that's needless here or there. But at the end of the day, you go through all those scenarios and you try to come up with the best thing that you think gives yourself a chance to win.
Okay, and I was mainly talking about in the fourth quarter with when you go to a no-huddle attack in that situation.
What you do is kind of speed up. You know, we want to go different formations. Usually when you go with a no-huddle, usually it's pretty base formations. You don't have as much formation variations. We thought it was very important with that 7 minutes left that we score that touchdown, and we thought we could do so better by changing formations. Now, if we scored that, the way we were playing defense, we felt like we could get the ball back with 2 minutes left or 2.5 minutes left. So we felt pretty good about our chances at least tying the game, being 15 down.
Jose Gumbs got a little action. Bakari Rambo was inactive. Can you just talk about that decision? What did you think of Gumbs' activity?
Yeah, Gumbs, strictly special teams. Gumbs has done a great job on special teams, or at least very physical guy, and we want to take a look at him compared to Bakari, and that's why he was up.
Mike, is it easier to stay up at 1-4 because of what you did last year, being able to rattle off 7 in a row at the end, and because a lot of the guys are still in that locker room knowing that they've done it before?
I don't think of it that way. I take a look at it, you know, how you're playing right now today. I was pleased with our defense. Defense to go over there, keep them to, you know, 200, a little over 200 yards. Not too many teams will do that, especially on the road. It was very positive in how our football team stepped up on defense and played a very talented football team in their backyard. So I felt very good about that. That gives you a chance down the road to have a lot of optimism, especially after some of the things we did last year on offense. Hopefully we get back to that point.
Mike, you guys have reached the six-week threshold here. Where do you think Maurice Hurt is in regards to coming off the PUP list? Where is he at in his recovery?
Well, he's feeling pretty good. Now we've got to make a decision when we want to bring him up.